Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
As you've heard a lot of today on News Radio 930 WBEN, we are expecting some potentially inclement and maybe even some dangerous weather in parts of Western New York. And can you think of a better person to whom to turn for all weather-related information than meteorologist Andy Parker? I personally cannot. And here's an extra added attraction. If you, later on this afternoon, or as Andy is going to lay out the time frame of this adverse weather, if you have travel plans during those periods in Western New York, especially in the affected areas, and you want to ask Andy about getting from point A to point B along the way, he will take your phone calls and give you his thoughts and words of sage wisdom on News Radio 930 WBEN. So let me give you the phone number at the top, and it is 803-0930. That's 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 209. Joining us now on the Trocare College WBEN live line, we have the great master of weather. In fact, he controls the weather for the deep state. He's never quite admitted that, but I've done some investigative reporting, and I'm pretty convinced of that. Andy Parker, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here today.
Well, I don't know about that. You'll be the judge of that. Andy, what are we looking for today?
Well, I'll tell you what, right now the skies have parted, the sun is coming down, and that's just adding to the juice that's in the atmosphere right now. So things are going to begin popping around 4 o'clock. And so I think between now and then, it's really like a summer day out there, some gusty winds, even though I think they've actually dropped off a little bit in the last hour. We just went past 76 degrees, I believe. So things are getting hot out there. So we've crossed 72 room temperature, and now we're headed up into kind of the upper end of the 70s, I think, for a short amount of time, just to get things firing up and blowing up. You'll see the clouds kind of change the style in the sky. These patches of clouds with the sun will eventually give way to those towering cumulus clouds that will begin to build first on the edge of the Lake Breeze boundary, which is going to be inland and south of Lake Erie. And that'll run on a diagonal from down around Dunkirk, Fredonia, inland across portions of Cattaraugus, southern Erie County, and then up towards Genesee County. That it looks like it may be the initial firing point for some of these storms. The people that will know it's coming are the ones that can that live in those areas that look up, and when you start to see the clouds begin to tower, then you know that the activity, the rainstorms aren't far behind.
Well, just as you were speaking, we have received an alert, a buff alert. Severe thunderstorms are forecast this evening. Wind gusts, lightning, hail, and a slight tornado risk is possible. Please stay alert. Now, you talked about those cumulus clouds. As you know, Andy, I'm all, and you as well, I know this, you are all about probabilities and statistics and measuring the possibility of various events happening and then trying to calculate exactly when that is going to happen. So these cumulus clouds that will be towering in the sky potentially, what is the greatest probability time they're going to be first visible?
Yeah, it's looking that they'll develop. You'll start to see the clouds begin to collect in those large towers and those columns. And what you'll find is that'll happen between around 3 and 4 o'clock. We'll start to see the signatures begin to develop. The line will set up. And actually watching the high resolution, we don't watch it from down below. Meteorologists watch it from above. And we have a 5-minute resolution on our satellite picture. So there's a satellite that's floating around the edge of space, not too deep, but it's up there hanging out. It's got a good picture. I'm watching it right now. Every 5 minutes, sometimes every 2 minutes on some of the higher resolutions, we start to see the clouds. And the larger ones, we don't pick out every tiny little individual fire cloud or puff of smoke, but the bigger clouds show up. Those are going to begin to, I didn't want to worry anybody that we're looking in your backyards on the satellite. They're beginning to build, and then we'll see the edge of that. And I believe it's those communities I just detailed there from portions of Chautauqua County, cutting across southern Erie County, portions of Cattaraugus, and then up towards Genesee and Rochester. It's going to be that area that I think we find the initial development, and then that will hit and run, as we call it. So these storms will blow up along that boundary and then begin to head off to the east. And when they do, they're not going to make it a slow procession. They will up and begin moving, probably on a bit of a diagonal. And then that whole diagonal line.
That area of which you are speaking, can you delineate it again? Because, you know, sometimes people listen, but they half listen. And by the way, Andy Parker, a meteorologist, is with us on the WBEN Trocare College live line.
Yeah, it's a little, when I'm looking at a map, it's a little bit easier to do that. So the areas of development that we're looking at first is going to be in the 4 o'clock area. And that would be over southern Erie County. And I would believe into the extent of Genesee County as well. So if you're in those two areas, you're likely to see you'll be the first ones to get wet from these thunderstorms. Then the signatures will build. It may develop into more of a line as opposed to just individual cells that begin to pop. And then that line, the whole thing, will progress from Batavia down to Warsaw, down to Springville, and then into Chautauqua County by Chautauqua Lake. That line will slide across western New York. It'll go from Buffalo towards Rochester and eventually Syracuse. And it looks like that line maybe will pick up in intensity as it gets to central New York. So it will develop over Buffalo. It'll be born near Buffalo, but it will develop and then sweep across the entirety of the state. By the time we get to 8 o'clock, that's the initial line will likely be from Syracuse down to Binghamton. I'd like to say that's it, and we'd be done, but it looks like there might be a part two to this system, and that one will come through right around sunset and kind of scoop up the leftovers, and that's the sweeper, and that will sweep everything out. It'll drop the temperatures quite rapidly this evening. You know, from where we are now in the upper 70s, I think we're gonna go very quickly down into the 50s by 10 o'clock or so, and then eventually the 40s. And behind it, tomorrow is a much cooler day. It's only going to be around maybe 50 to 55. So this is a pretty big change coming through. And whenever you see these large-scale weather systems that you have a huge rise, and I always say with these things, the bigger the rise, the bigger the fall. And what we've seen the past few days is that the juice and the steam and the heat out in front of this cold front has gotten bigger and bigger to the point that, again, we're in the kind of the upper 70s right now as we look at some of these numbers. Let me look at the other numbers. I mean, look at the Buffalo airport, but Danville is 86. Dunkirk just hit 83. Genesee County Airport, 80 degrees. Rochester, 83. So there are some numbers that are overperforming. And when you start to see the overperformance of the surface temperatures And then you find that when we launch those weather balloons in the morning and in the evening, and as it goes up into the sky, it's not something we just kind of, hey, how long can you see it and wave goodbye? But it's actually transmitting back data every single second. It's going up. It's blowing up our phone, if you will, and it's sending data back every single moment. Everything that, as I tell the kids, when you walk outside, if you can feel it and you can see it, that weather balloon is sending back all of that data back down to the Earth's surface. And so what it does is give us a really good idea of what's happening in terms of the atmosphere as you go in height. So at 1,000, 2,000, 50,000, 60,000, 80,000 feet up, it'll tell us how the atmosphere is set up. And the thing about the tornado, I know you mentioned it, and I know a lot of people are throwing that around. It's not a word, much like blizzard. I don't like to just frivolously say, oh, yeah, it's going to be a thunderstorm and maybe a side of tornado out there. You know, it's the phrase that I'm hearing more and more is like, well, just an isolated tornado. It's rare that we're going to have like, oh, hey, there's going to be 10 tornadoes flying through southern areas. It's just never going to happen. So they're always generally an isolated incident. So what we're going to find today is the reason that people are even talking about it, that the word tornado is part of the vernacular of this particular weather system, is due to the change in wind direction with height. It's a word called shear. I'm sure you're going to hear any of the weather service people talk about it. Any pilot that's out there knows exactly what we're talking about. It's a change of wind direction with height. And is it kind of, if you think about a clock, and you take the hands and you shift the hands, that's how we look at the wind direction. And it's coming maybe from 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock at the surface, but then you switch around and it starts coming from maybe noon or 1 o'clock, several thousand feet off the ground. So what happens is when you get these storms or a front that comes through, those storms rise 20, 30, 40, even 50,000 feet into the atmosphere. As you have these rising and sinking columns of air, the air goes up, the bubble of warmth goes up, it cools, and then it comes crashing back down through those thunderstorms. The thunderstorms are always building. You see the clouds billowing up into the air, but eventually that cooler column will drop, and the water condenses and the rain comes out, and it turns ugly and sometimes green, but that's how these things form. And when you have that rotation or shear of wind with height, that's when you can start to spin those columns of air. And sometimes they initially start as a horizontal spin. So I don't want to get too far into the weeds of...
Are we line dancing or doing the
aerodynamics? So the air will spin in these rotating columns, and then as you get a storm that pushes it up or down, it turns it vertically. And then that's what we see spin up on the ground. And that's why sometimes people say, hey, it never reached the ground. It was up in the cloud. Well, that's because that's where the shear environment developed the vortex. And sometimes it stretches down and rips up a couple trees and causes problems. But a lot of times the atmosphere just absorbs the vortex and it dissipates without causing any problems at the surface. They occur more frequently than people ever imagined. Nowadays, with cameras and better technology, we can peer into the clouds and see these rotating columns of air based on what we find on Doppler radar technology. So even though you're blind to this, it's contained up in the ugliest clouds in the sky, this Doppler is looking into it, searching for these things. When it identifies it, then it sets off an alarm that triggers a tornado warning that is indicated by Doppler. So it's not that, Joe in Springville looked up and called the weather service and says, hey, I see a funnel. But right. It's the Doppler indicating the swirl that's in the atmosphere that has the potential to drop to the surface. And so we're doing a much better job of detecting these swirls or vortices within the clouds that pass over Western New York. I know a lot of people feel that we're becoming Tornado Alley, and this is, you know, something, oh my gosh, when I was growing up, well, when you were growing up, we didn't know what was going on up in the clouds, to be quite honest, you know, and there weren't as many people with cameras to document it either. We had suspicions and hunches that something may have happened, but until someone sees it, calls it in, and can actually confirm that there was a touchdown, social media and technology, distributing a phone to everyone and video that they can transmit in real time and confirm these things. It's added to the total number of storms that are now accounted for in Western New York.
We're talking, and you know why he's so awesome, with meteorologist Andy Parker on the Trocar College WBEN live line, and Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 2:21. And Andy, just as a quick aside, you talked about the aviation community and the word shear, and many Americans found out about wind shear, particularly in the summer of 85 when a Delta Airlines flight crashed because of it with horrible loss of life. So that word then kind of entered the popular vernacular, at least for a time, that concept of shear. Now, in terms, I was going to get into that whole, hey, are we having more tornadoes now, or is tornadic promulgating weather hanging around us, or being detected better now?
It's exactly what you described, and I think we talked about it, where it's always happened. It's not something that's brand new. It's now we're able to detect it using the technology of the Doppler radar, and then disseminating that, and then also corroborating it with visual evidence, someone having a picture of a funnel that moved through the sky. 20 years ago, nobody has a camera. Somebody looks up, sees a funnel, and okay, great, but it was never documented. It was never shared. The Weather Service wasn't aware of it. They can't confirm that it happened. There was suspicion, but now there's more confirmed cases. So those will pump the numbers up. And I believe it was a year ago. It was last year. We had the remnants of a hurricane come up, and it encountered a pool of air that was over Western New York and was primed for a tornadic outbreak. That was a unique situation, minus the decaying hurricane and the pool of proper dynamics in the atmosphere. Those two things don't generally come into contact, but once every, a quarter century. So that was a very unique event for those two things to collide. And that did set off a tornado outbreak, where there was multiple tornadoes in Western New York, not just a isolated vortex that was spotted. Last year in downtown Buffalo, the one that spun up over southern Ontario, walked across the water, and then came through downtown and dissipated there. That was another one that doesn't normally or often come in contact with the city. Everybody knows the Cheektowaga tornado of fame that came through, and it's about a once-in-a-decade experience where you have a tornado close to the metropolitan Buffalo area, some of the inner-ring suburbs. A lot of times it's contained where the Lake Breeze boundary forms, which is kind of what we're talking about today, over Southern Erie and the Southern Tier. They generally get more juice and in a better setup near the Pennsylvania line than we do in the North Towns.
Very fascinating. I remember working when the Cheektowaga tornado hit and hearing people describe the situation on Union Road, and it was absolutely startling. I've got a million questions for meteorologist Andy Parker, who's with us on the Trocar College WBEN live line, and Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 2:24. We promise we take your telephone calls, so if you have questions about what's going to play out today weather-wise, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And Tanner behind the glass, let us take Lou in Amherst. Lou, you are on WBEN with Andy Parker.
Hi, thanks for putting me on. This morning, I actually told my friend from New York City who's flying in tonight, you better keep track of this. You're probably not going to make it in. But Andy just said it's mostly going to be the southern tier, at least at the beginning, and then it might come back in. So maybe the airport could stay open.
Well, he said the 4 o'clock thing is going to start from Buffalo and work its way southward and then eastward.
Okay, then I misunderstood him. I thought it was going to hit Buffalo until later in the evening, the way I understood it.
Well, Andy, I don't want to put words in your mouth. That I did take notes. That is what you said, right?
Yeah, it'll be on a diagonal. Now the question is, will the airport be affected, and will these cumulus clouds be enough that the air traffic won't want to try to navigate a path through or over, and it'll a line that develops and blows up. So if you have a flight that's that's coming in from the south, they can actually, if the line moves to the east and your plane comes in, you can land. But if you're coming in from, let's say, JFK or Newark, and this line is now barreling across New York State, that's going to be something that they could end up waiting it out or causing delays or cancellations.
Andy Parker, our meteorologist, and Lou in Amherst, I need to put you on hold because I've got a break here. I did want to sneak in Lou. And Lou, if your question has been answered, great. If not, you can stay on through the break on News Radio 930 WBEN. Well, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Some rather tumultuous weather is forecast to hit us in western New York, beginning at around 4 o'clock from about the city of Buffalo on south and then to the east. Meteorologist Andy Parker is with us on the WBEN Trocare College live line, and caller Lou, who had expressed concerns about the Buffalo airport, and Andy was in the process of answering the question about the chance that the airport might have some interrupted service depending on the flight path. And Andy, would you like to consider or continue your answer, having considered it further?
Yeah, he was thinking about, is there going to be some air travel disruptions tonight? And as these storms begin to develop, pop up, and race to the east, it'll depend on where your flight is coming from. Something from the south is going to have a better chance of not experiencing any delays or reroutes as something coming from the east coast would if it has to cross through or navigate a path through these storms. A lot will depend on the size, the type of plane, the size of plane, the flight path, but I would expect some flights to be impacted in that window from around 6 until 8 p.m.
So there's no way of knowing if that specific flight, Lou, is going to be impacted, but keep your eyes open on the airline site and on the flight radar app if you have one.
But it sounds like the after 8 o'clock, things should start clearing up and people could get in. That's what he wants to know. He's got to get in for a very important meeting tomorrow. So it sounds like even if it's 11 or 12 o'clock, he'll be able to get in, is what it sounds like.
All right. Thank you very much. Andy, do you concur with that conclusion that if he needs to get to Buffalo tonight, it might be later than he may have anticipated, but he will get to Buffalo?
Yeah, a lot of these things, it's a temporary disruption, either due to the wind threshold with a thunderstorm in the area. This is something that, if you've ever tried to fly into Tampa, Orlando, they have just a disaster every time they have these big thunderstorms pop up. Planes will go into a holding pattern, and the storms, if they're moving quickly, the planes have enough fuel that they can just hold and wait for that to pass. And that's what I think we'll have in this situation. It's not like there's going to be a foot of snow left behind once these thunderstorms move through and the winds or the visibility that's associated with it that would cause any delays move away. Their planes will be able to get back in.
So, Andy, we've talked about the first round of storms at around 4 o'clock, starting roughly at the city of Buffalo and extending south and then to the east. Round two, you mentioned sunset, which is 8:14 p.m. tonight. At that point, at what are we looking?
Yeah, what we're looking at right now are the things I'm viewing over Detroit. While we were in that commercial break there, the line of storms just to the west of Detroit is just blowing up. So they had their billowing cumulus for the past hour or two, and then now it's showing up on radar in the form of rain coming out of there, some very intense rain. That is going to start making its way across. That's the round two for us that'll start cruising across Lake Erie, and it'll take probably about 4 or 5 hours to get here. So that's why we're looking at the back edge of the timing. So we will likely get some blow up here in the 4 to 6 p.m. window in the area along the lake breeze, and then we'll have another system, another sweeper that comes through as the temperature drops behind it. So we're going to boil up the juicy air and pop a few of these thunderstorms, and then they will, as I said before, they will pop, hit, and run to the east. Not everybody's going to see them. It's likely to occur in the areas along the lake breeze boundary. And then the sweeper that is currently near Detroit, that will come through, and that will be arriving as we get into the evening hours there, somewhere in the realm of maybe 7 to 9, depending upon your location in western New York.
In terms of any tornado, what is the most likely time you would expect it, and where, and what are the probabilities?
Oh, wow. That's a question. It's probably the million-dollar question, because to find out exactly where you're going to have an opportunity to have a twister come in contact with the ground, it's going to be any of these storms that I would say that are south of, let's draw a line, from Dunkirk to Hamburg to Batavia to Rochester. If you're south and east of that line, you have a higher probability of having enough energy to cause a tornadic reaction. If you're north of that line, you still get some intense storms, but it doesn't look like they're going to be, they'll have the same dynamics that would, a lower probability of receiving any tornadic activity. So it's about as rough as you can make it. We can't say this town over this town or this driveway or over this driveway. It's not that refined, but it's definitely, you can draw a slice through the area and say it's a higher probability to the south and to the north.
I'll just err on the side of caution and say parts of Western New York. How's that? Andy Parker, meteorologist extraordinaire, and he is our guest on the Turcare College WBEN Live Line. If you have any individual questions regarding your plans at the times Andy has outlined, which may very well be wet, wild, and windy, call us and have them answered at 803-0930, star 930. That's the cell number, and 1-800-616-WBEN. That's 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Andy, in the event a tornado does, in fact, appear to be imminent, and they're going to issue a warning, how much notice do we, the general public, generally get?
A lot of times you're going to look at a scan on Doppler radar, and so it's constantly scanning. When you have a more active environment like this, you can get scans every few minutes. So that means a full scan. So out of the radar, if you've ever seen that big thing that looks like a golf ball teed up on a metal structure, that's actually the Doppler radar dome. And that thing is spinning around, sending out a beam into the clouds every few minutes. And not just the clouds around the airport, but all the way down to Pennsylvania and into Pennsylvania and then up to around Toronto. It's a huge thing. It's a really wild piece of technology, because it's peering into the clouds that are over the horizon to the naked eye, and it's pulling in that information. Now, what happens is every couple minutes that data comes in, it's analyzed by computers, and then if the computer senses a couplet where you would have winds that are from two directions right next to each other, that's not a normal occurrence. And if we start to see a couplet, even a small one, if it's a 10-mile-an-hour difference one way to the other way, where you have east and west winds right next to each other, that'll trigger an alert. And then meteorologists will look at that at the weather service. Anyone who's got the data feeds will see that as well. And when we'll start to look at that couplet, and you'll say, okay, is that going to develop into something or not? And then another 2-3 minutes go by, you get the next scan, and if now all of a sudden those are 40-mile-an-hour winds that are flowing in opposite directions in a very short distance, usually only less than a mile, then you'd say, this is now an intensifying storm. Let's go ahead and put out a tornado warning on this. And then you have to have the trajectory, right? Because everybody, you can't just say, hey, there's a tornado warning in Chautauqua County, but you want to know it's going to be moving at this direction at this speed, so you can say these towns are going to be impacted in the next 10, 15, 20 minutes. And that's how you develop that cone of probability for movement on these tornadoes. So it really originates with Doppler peering into the darkest depths of these clouds, looking for any sense of rotation, and then alerting us. So it's a matter of minutes from the moment that those things form in these clouds, sometimes, you know, 50 miles away from the Doppler, to when eyes are on it, and then a decision is made once there's enough data to warrant alerting the public that this is something that could have a potential risk.
Yeah, last week's tornado warning from the National Weather Service, I believe was on Thursday, did talk about rotation was detected in an area about, 15 miles north of Salamanca. So there's that word again. Will these storms, Andy, feature high winds and any idea of the size of hail?
At this point, the size of hail could get up to a quarter in these storms, a dime to a quarter. And just in the last few minutes I'm watching, we just had a cell, the Lake Breeze boundary that I talked to you about before. It's now from Angola to Eden. So the first, they're small. They're very small. But Eden Valley by the golf course down there, Razor's Doghouse along 62. I mean, that's how we're pinpointing this, just north of the Eden Junior Senior High School. That's the first cell. and it's tracking very quickly. So Hamburg is going to get wet, the southern portion of Hamburg, not the lakeshore. And it looks like that will continue to track very quickly. Orchard Park, the skies are darkening there as well. So it's going to cross the 219 and make its way out towards East Aurora, would be next in line for this particular cell. It is a kind of a lone wolf cell at this point. It was a small blip of like water vapor out over the lake that once it got swept up and into that lake breeze, and now it hit the edge of the lake breeze, it's beginning to produce some rain. No thunder and lightning out of that yet. It's not anything large enough to do that. But at this stage, that's our first rain shower out of this. But what it really, it's the canary in the coal mine saying that the atmosphere is beginning to boil, as we talked about before. And these storms between now and 4 o'clock will start to pop and run.
So I can almost think of what listeners may be wanting me to ask you right now, so I will ask. I want to know the chances, forget about tornadoes for a moment, the chances of damaging winds, the chances of absolute downpours, and the chances that this is just going to be much ado about nothing and it lays a giant egg.
The lays a giant egg is probably the lowest probability out there. Tornado actually has a higher probability than this not occurring tonight to some degree. The greatest probability out of these things, the torrential rain, lightning, we're going to see that. It's going to be an energized storm statically. It's an environment that'll create that. It'll lead to downpours, but I had some questions from folks in Tonawanda who are a little gun-shy about the rain, concerned about flooding. This is not a real flooding situation. It's a rapid deployment of rain, and then it runs. So it's not something that's going to hit and stick and stay in one spot for too long. So I don't think that we're worried about inches of rain. The wind is going to be another one that will be a factor. So the winds aloft, several thousand feet above the ground, are going to move at around 70 miles an hour. When you have these downdrafts, these disruptions of air vertically, it'll take those wind gusts and divert them into the ground, and that's when you get those big gusts 40, 50 miles an hour that scrape the ground and throw the furniture around. They're not a constant event, but you have to imagine this flow above the ground that occasionally is diverted towards the surface. Those are the big gusts. And with that wind field already in place, and you have the buoyant atmosphere, the bubbles that are going to start to, you know, knock it around, wind gusts are also almost a certainty that we're going to see those out there.
Let's squeeze in Christine in West Seneca. Christine, a quick question from you, my dear.
Yeah, so I'm scheduled to drive to central New York tonight and leave West Seneca around 6 o'clock. And you were talking about the second band coming through that's more like a line. Like, am I going to be under this thing? And is driving to central New York between 6 and 8 p.m. tonight not a good idea?
I don't think that's a bad idea, but you might actually end up in the middle of that, during the 6 to 8 o'clock window. These first ones get up and get going, and then the other line will make its way through closer to sunset, I believe. So I think in that window to try to get to central New York, which is, let's call it, a couple hours downwind to Buffalo, you should be able to make that trip in there. It wouldn't be anything I would cancel any plans for because it's not whiteout conditions. It's just going to be some thunderstorms and a heavy rain for a period of time. But I think if you, when it gets closer to your departure time, you'll look at a radar. You'll have a really good idea that you might be able to make that trip before round two comes through.
Thank you very much, Christine. We appreciate your call on News Radio 930 WBEN. Meteorologist Andy Parker, who's been with us on the Trocare College WBEN Live Line, I know that you love it when people carry you in their pockets or purses at all times. How do people sign up to be part of your continuous feed of weather information of relevance?
Yeah, if they want to do that, it's very easy to do. It's like sending a text to a friend. All you've got to do is send a text to 503-ANDY. That's 716-503-2639. That number again is 716-503-2639. Now I sound like you doing an ad. But all you have to do is send text the word weather, the W-E-A-T-H-E-R version, and you'll get something right back. If you have a question, text it, and there you go. Now you've got the cell phone in your pocket, Western New York.
meteorologist Andy Parker. It is always a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Andy Parker.